You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively on OCETalkRadio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, well then visit their website, which is www.sbnonline.com. And when you go to their site, make sure you find the Orange County section in their local journals area. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 16-year consulting practice. One of the things we do is we build CEO peer groups for business owners and executives here in Orange County. We do this in cooperation with Renaissance Executive Forums. Doug Gefeller is a master certified coach, and he's my business partner, and he leads our coaching area of our practice. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, visit our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. I'd like to bring on our first guest today, our first and only guest today. It's great pleasure that I welcome Kay Hunter of Imagine the Possibilities, the Critical Mass, the radio show. Kay, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Let's get right into the interview. Could you talk to our audience about your path to your current firm, Imagine the Possibilities?
About the past of my firm?
Your path to your firm?
Could you please repeat the question? I just couldn't hear you quite well.
Okay, Kay. Could you talk to us about your background and experience that predates your current firm?
Okay. Well, I worked in human resources for 15 years in corporate America. And it's in that position that I actually saw people not getting ahead because of how they put themselves together, whether it was in the interview process or management that we actually had in the company. And we tried to hire someone who could come in and work with our individuals, and it was very difficult to find someone who understood image and understood corporate America. And that was where the idea was born for me to start Imagine the Possibilities.
And so what is it specifically? You sort of touched on it, but can you talk to our audience, Kay, about what service your firm provides?
We provide image and etiquette coaching for executive professionals as well as lower-level people just starting out. And what it really gets into, Rick, is teaching people that professional presence so that their personal brand will match the company brand.
You know, this the concept of personal brand, Kay, is, you know, really been made even more popular, I think, with the advent of social media and the way that people are seeing the fact that they have the ability to brand themselves. So could you maybe take us another layer deeper on how strategically the importance of connecting your image and appearance, etc., to the personal brand and how you're crafting yourself in the marketplace?
Sure. I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I was asked to work with a CFO candidate. And she is someone who's been a top CFO in town, and she's now in transition, and she wasn't doing well in the interviewing process. And it really came down to how she was presenting herself. And so her business coach sent her to me. And the issue was, as talented as she is, and she certainly is professional, her personal brand was that she was not approachable and kind of mean. And so people were not responding to her in a positive way. And so we worked with her using, of course, who she is and what her goals are, and made her look and act, you know, more approachable and friendlier, and she got a job within the month.
So you're working not only with the physical appearance of the individual relative to their image and their brand, but also their demeanor?
Exactly. And that's where we get into the business etiquette and the presence. I mean, whether it be body language, their how they present themselves when they shake hands, how long do they hold eye contact, how often do they smile. There's a lot of statistics about, you know, women smile more than men. And so you need to know the strategy when you're working with males or females of how much of the time you actually smile.
Okay. I didn't know that statistic, but I do know that tremendous amount of communication happens non-verbally.
Tremendous amount. Tremendous. And that's the thing we're seeing in corporate America today is it's so competitive. And with the economy, people need to be able to outclass their competition. And these nuances, you know, it's the little things that truly make the difference. And it is not always the alma mater or how many books you've written. It's everything combined. But now people have to drill down deeper and address all of these little points if they're going to be the person on top.
Okay, it's pretty common, the learning process, when people develop a new skill. And I would think that what you're talking about, beyond the physical way that you maybe dress and your color palette and some of the other things that I know you're very experienced at coaching people and helping them with, into the behavioral side, that there's a learning curve to kind of adopt the behavior and be comfortable with it. What is your experience around helping your clients when you're not just when you're coaching them on behavioral issues where no longer is a conscious thought where they're adapting their behavior, but where it becomes, you know, natural and comfortable such that they're able to, you know, effectively present themselves in this new way?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is a curve, and it does take time. And to drop the old habits and create new habits takes time. But most of the things that we're dealing with a little bit of practice, within weeks, I mean, people are able to do it right away. For it to be completely natural, it's going to take a month to two. Because it is a conscious effort to make those changes, especially when it comes to your body language. Now, when it comes to how to make a proper introduction, knowing whether you're supposed to open the door for the boss or is the boss supposed to open the door for the other individual, those things come a lot faster.
You know, that's an interesting example, Kay, because in the world of business has changed, and many times when you're meeting a person for the first time, you know, you're sort of unsure of how to act in certain situations, and it's the situations that may catch you off guard where your natural instincts or without any pre-thought, your behavior may actually work against you. An example, you know, unwittingly opening the door for someone, you know, maybe it's a female interviewer and maybe that's not appropriate. And people generally maybe don't even know anymore, you know, what is accepted behavior and what's not accepted behavior any longer in the corporate world.
I am always amazed, Rick, when I'm in top organizations. And I'll be teaching high-level people. And honestly, they do not know the information that we're talking about. And they're thrilled. I mean, afterwards, they will say to me, I feel so confident because now I know what I know. Because one thing I focus on is high-tech etiquette. Because there's so many faux pas that occur, you know, around emails, around cell phones or smartphones. And it's, for instance, when someone's waiting for a meeting and someone walks up and you're finishing a text message to someone, I mean, it sends a horrible message to that individual and you miss that first opportunity for eye contact. And something people don't always think about, but once we teach them, that is a behavior they can change instantly.
And I'd have to imagine that on occasion, some clients have either behaviors that are even subconscious or unconscious to them, or mannerisms that they may not even realize that they do. And I know that, you know, when people get under pressure and they're a little bit nervous, sometimes those behaviors even become more obvious. That, you know, just by letting them know they do something, they may, like you said, they don't even know they were doing it. But once you bring it to their consciousness, then hopefully they can control it and be aware of it.
Like I will talk a lot about what people do with their hands, because it gives away so much about someone if they're nervous and if they're fidgeting or they're uncomfortable. And so to what you just said, once people realize what they're doing, then they can change it.
Right. Yeah, because there are people that talk with their hands and they don't even realize how that may distract from their message at times. And in certain settings, it's totally appropriate. I'm Italian. We have a reputation, if that's valid, for speaking with our hands.
And we like speaking with hands. Well, we just don't want you folding your hands in front of you and closing yourself off. We don't want you twiddling your fingers or playing with your fingers and that type. We don't want your hands in your pockets, those types of things.
Yeah, because so much is on first impression. I don't remember the statistic, but I do remember that in job interviews, there's a very hard first impression that gets set within the first, you know, early period of the interview.
Right.
And whether the interviewer knows it or not, that impression has been set, and much of the other time that you spent, and I don't even think it's just with an interview, it's, you know, meeting with a new client or wherever, it's those early impressions that are formed that either work to your advantage possibly, or maybe, you know, present a challenge.
The statistic is 93% of a first impression is formed before you ever say a word, and it's based on how you look and how you act. And that's why we always talk about both things in every sentence, because they're both equally important.
And so the smart business executive who's looking in a highly competitive world to get the edge, who spends a little bit of time and thought understanding how they can use that to their advantage, or at least be genuine to who they really are and kind of overcome, you know, things that they do that maybe are misread, is certainly an opportunity to improve your performance, I would think.
Very much so. And it also gets into dining etiquette. Most executives take people out to lunch, dinners, they're at networking events, and most people know which fork to use, but they're not aware of how to be a proper host and how to make their guests feel comfortable. And I just see it all the time that people are uncomfortable and they don't get the benefit of a meal. You know, they're spending all the money, but they have missed opportunities of how they could make their guest feel so much more comfortable and enjoy the whole experience.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure when you're the host of a business dinner, especially when the parties don't know each other well and you're trying to be a gracious host, and especially if it's a larger party where you personally can't, you know, interact with just a handful of people. Maybe it's, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 people at a table, and you're the host responsible for ensuring that everybody kind of has a good time as a business social event. There's a lot of pressure there.
A lot of pressure. And the challenge is that a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And so they're out there thinking they're doing a great job, and they're actually offending people, and they're not being successful at being the host. People don't like to eat with me very much.
That's great. Okay, I wonder if you would share with our audience of all the lessons that you've learned in your professional business career and in your entrepreneurial career, is there a guiding principle that you use today to kind of lead and build your firm?
Well, I would say that the one thing that I've learned the hard way is that you need to know when to hire people to help you. And I did not learn that fast enough. And I had to realize, and this is really the principle, that we all have gifts or strengths, but none of us have all of those gifts or strengths. And to surround yourself and be willing to have people assist you that have the strengths you don't, it truly makes the difference in running the business. Otherwise, you end up killing yourself practically.
Especially when you go from a corporate world where resources are a little more available to an entrepreneurial world where largely your resources are in the same chair that you're in.
You're exactly right. I mean, when I was in corporate America, if I needed to run an ad, if I needed marketing, you know, you just walked up the hallway. Someone to fix the computer, all of those things. And, you know, I certainly don't credit myself with being a PR executive and having all that knowledge. And it just made such a big difference. I was preparing for a big project for the Pelican Hill Resort when they were opening. And, you know, between all the meetings and the prep work, I was just working day and night. And it was just amazing the difference of what I could give to my clients once I had people in back of me and helping me really by my side.
Well, that's a good guiding principle, which leads me very logically to my next question, which is, as you know, I'm very much a fan of the idea of peer groups for entrepreneurs and business owners. It's what I do for a living outside the radio show, and it's what my first book was about, The Power of the CEO Peer Group. Could you share an example or an experience, Kay, that you had where being collaborative as a business leader either helped you with the quality of the decision you made or would have helped you if you would have had that kind of insight and experience during the time that you were going through that issue?
Sure. I have not always been strong in this area of having a peer group. And I think because coming out of corporate America, you had your colleagues that you could work with. But to me, a true peer group is one that they're not going to benefit from anything that you do. And I was lucky enough 3 years ago to be selected, really, to be in a very small group. And Karen Carlson put this group together, and it started out to be just a networking group. And we quickly transitioned to what we now call ourselves an advisory group, because we became close and we found that it was more helpful to come each month with a question about our business that we needed help with. And I cannot tell you what that group means to me. First of all, it's confidential. Second of all, I don't have to answer to them. But third of all, I really respect them. And last year, when the economy was so tough, I was asking about marketing. And there were several people in the group who that really was their expertise. And one person actually, just on his own time, sat me down and was responsible for catapulting my marketing efforts and putting them in a direction that they needed to be that were far more realistic. And I thought that was absolutely amazing for, you know, again, just someone in the group helping out and giving guidance.
Yeah, we refer to those individuals and that power kind of as a business Sherpa, you know, someone who can navigate you up that hill that, because you're right, many entrepreneurs and business executives have skills, deep skills in certain areas, but no one has those deep skills across all the disciplines required. And so that's quite a gift to be able to have another member get that invested in your success, that on their own time and willingness, they give you the benefit of their knowledge. That generally, that's how they make a living, doing that for other clients, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing group, and I appreciate them so much. And it is okay. So different than anything else we typically have, I mean, versus hiring a consultant or actually having employees.
I agree. That's seeing those transformational experiences happen in the peer groups that I was a member of for years kind of was the precursor to me deciding to launch my professional career as a professional facilitator for peer groups. So thanks for sharing your experience, Kay. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about a current challenge facing your business. I know it might be difficult to come up with one, but if you wouldn't mind sharing with the audience not just the challenge, but what you're doing to mitigate it as well.
Well, I would say that my greatest challenge for Imagine the Possibilities is creating exposure. People are not accustomed to hiring an image coach. They tend to think that we're, if you will, a stylist, or they think we're only for the rich and famous or the movie stars. And I would like to think that people would hire an image coach just as they would hire a nutritionist or an accountant or something like that. But we're not quite there yet. So I had really hoped that I could build my business based on referrals. But I end up being really like a secret weapon for my clients. And they frankly don't want to share me. You know, if someone says you look fabulous, they don't want to say call Kay Hunter. They say thank you. And in companies, it's, you know, they see that I help create a competitive edge for them. So the solution that I finally had to admit to is that I really needed to focus a lot more on social media. And I had a website, but I redid it this year. It made a tremendous difference. I was almost embarrassed, frankly, that I hadn't done it sooner. And I have a monthly e-zine that goes out to 1,000 people, and I am amazed how many people always connect to me back from using that. And LinkedIn has been great, and I even started on Facebook, which I was slow to do, but a very good friend of mine, Gary Kaplan, insisted, and they just all have been absolutely the way to go, and then I added a blog on my website.
Well, we found each other through LinkedIn.
That's correct. You're absolutely right.
We have similar circles of people that we know in the county, and I was intrigued by your business model. I find it fascinating, frankly, and I like to get exposure in the to the audience to ideas that give them not an unfair advantage, but at least a competitive advantage. And I don't disagree with you. I mean, in fact, I agree with you that. Having self-awareness, especially in the areas that you're able to help them with, can really help reduce barriers, maybe or roadblocks that they've had, speed bumps maybe that they're not even aware of getting to their strategic goals as a leader and a business owner here in the county.
Well, and you bring up a very good point. A lot of people I work with, it's not that they're a disaster. Oftentimes, we're just polishing. We're just putting the frosting on the cake. It's just that little bit that they need to get the promotion or get to the next level.
Because the further you go up the pyramid of the corporate world or even within, the more you build your own firm and the more people that become dependent on you, the scrutiny continues to get stronger and stronger on all aspects of you as an individual. You know, when you're an individual contributor, it's sort of, especially if you're in the sales or in a production area, it's the numbers. But as you move more and more up the management and executive level, it's much more as well on the intangible parts of your, you know, of you as a leader, of you as a person, of the image that you cut, of the way that you can inspire people. It's much less obvious, maybe, as I should say, about the things that get you to that next rung on the ladder.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, people, to get ahead, people need to respect you and they need to like you. And especially if your role is involved in selling. I mean, people do business with people that they like being with. And there's a lot of executives, I mean, the old school, you know, they could sort of bully people around, and that doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't, especially with the next two generations that are coming into the workforce. They are expecting a lot different things from their leaders. And, you know, Kay, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue with our interview. Can you stay with us through the break?
Certainly.
Okay, we'll be right back after this.
Mm-hmm. Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. If you would like to join the conversation, if you're listening to this show today live here on octalkradio.net, then I would encourage you to visit their website on the community chat room and log in and post a comment, and the producer and I will be watching that, and maybe we'll bring your questions or thoughts into the conversation today. For those of you that were listening before the break, you know that I'm talking with Kay Hunter of Imagine the Possibilities. And Kay, welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you very much.
Could you talk to us about how you've gone about differentiating your firm in the marketplace? Because while you're in, I think, a very unique and interesting area of helping executives and salespeople and companies, there's got to be other firms that maybe try to do what you do or represent that they do a piece of what you do. So what have you been doing to differentiate your firm in the marketplace and create your brand?
Well, there's a couple things. The first is, because of my background in corporate America, in human resources, sitting at the boardroom table, it really makes me different because I understand from the inside the challenges that these companies are having. And it helps me provide the solution. It also, I help people to make that connection between the corporate brand and the personal brand. And that makes me very different. If I go in and we just say, oh, you work for PIMCO, that's a traditional company, this is what you need to look and act like, it doesn't work like that. Because everyone is so different. It really, you have to dig down and understand each person individually in order to help them. And that's a big difference. I oftentimes, when I start to talk in certain seminars, people will think, oh, you know, she's just going to make us all robots. And that's quite the contrary. It really is about understanding a person's particular personality, their goals, the way they operate, the way they speak, and what they like and what their goals are. And all of that goes into being able to really help them to create that personal brand that'll work with their corporate brand.
You know, that's interesting because as you talk about that, I think of the parallels to social media, which means from my, you know, we've had many social media experts here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and one of the key messages that they all kind of deliver is you have to be authentic, genuine, and transparent in your application of social media. Or else, for some reason, social media doesn't work for you. It's sort of it snuffs out people who aren't being genuine. And I would think the same thing applies for the work that you do. In other words, you're not looking to cover up maybe something in a person, but really to connect with who they are in a way that is congruent with who they really are from the inside out. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And there's no question each company has a brand, and you need to work within that. You know, again, using PIMCO as an example, you know, they're a financial company, they are traditional, and it's not the same as working for a surf company. But within those parameters, then we need to make that person feel comfortable in their own skin, and therefore they'll be more successful for the company and for themselves.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember stories of people who worked in technology when IBM was one of the dominant, if the not the dominant, you know, manufacturer in computer systems. And there was the IBM look, right? The very, very
blue
controlled
suit,
dark
shirt,
suit.
Red tie.
And, I'm sorry?
Oh, the blue suit, red, the red tie and the white shirt.
Right. And when you worked in other companies and IBM executives or mid-tier people came into the other company, they brought with them their apparel. And it was sort of funny sometimes because it sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't work. And, you know, the culture of the company didn't accept that look. And the person had to begin to be successful within that firm, especially as a leader, take on a bit of the culture of the company that they were now working for and back off a bit of what they had learned, because IBM was very steeped in culture, you know, especially in those days when they were quite successful.
Exactly. And then we have this, it's not new anymore, but the whole business casual look. And that's made it so much more complicated for people on how they do present themselves because they have so many more options and so much more flexibility. And everyone is confused about the rules, if you will. And I always just relate it back to what is the message that you want to send about you as a professional? You know, what is that personal brand?
Well, yeah, I have the good fortune as a quite a number of firms here throughout the county, and sometimes I find it curious the way that the person that I use, you know, that I meet with in the lobby, possibly whether it's a receptionist or someone there, I just find it curious sometimes the message that that individual can send about the company based on appearance and apparel.
Exactly. Exactly. So. It's a little frightening sometimes.
But then on the other side of that, I reflect back to what you said earlier, which is if you're the owner of that business, that's a difficult conversation to have with someone who maybe isn't projecting the image based on the appearance and the apparel that they have on with what you want. I would think that would be a difficult conversation to have if you haven't had experience or a professional help you to kind of think it through.
It's very tricky. You are correct. And there are human resource issues as well as, you know, professional issues and not offending people but being productive.
And there's self-esteem issues. I mean, there's a lot that you don't know about what goes into why people choose a look or apparel. And, you know, a prudent leader solicits help in that area, I think, to make sure they do it in the best way possible so they don't, you know, make a situation even worse.
I have obviously a lot of people who come see me and they are sent to me by their companies. And oftentimes they walk in with, if you will, a chip on their shoulder, like, I don't know why I'm here. And I'm happy to say that literally everyone that has ever come in that situation, within 30 minutes, they're so thrilled at what they're learning that they get rid of the chip and they understand why I'm telling them what I'm telling them. And they just seem to hear it better from an expert than from a boss who might be fumbling with the message.
Yeah, because then it's no longer one person's opinion. It is a professional who has expertise that commands a certain amount of respect based on their knowledge.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Well, that's a good... again, I look for these learning moments on the show, and I think that is one that maybe some in the audience that are either listening live or in the future on an MP3 podcast, possibly from Apple iTunes, if you have that type of an issue in your business, this may be a possible solution, a way to address it. Kay, would you be comfortable talking about kind of a painful business lesson that you've learned at some point in your business career and sort of how you carry that forward with you as a lesson learned?
You had asked me before a little bit about that question, and I know that, you know, the one lesson was having to hire people to support me, but another lesson that I learned, and this one was painful, Rick, I've always learned that and been taught that the customer is right. And I had a client, this was several years back, and they called me up, and I was too accommodating. And it was at my own defeat. They told me the various challenges they were having, and they wanted a training session at their company. And I thought, great, I can help them with this. It was image and etiquette related. And then they said, we want it in 2 hours. And they were really talking about something that was going to take 5 hours. And I tried my best to explain, but I was not successful. And I agreed to do what they wanted. And shame on me. I'm the expert, and I knew what it would take to get the results that they wanted. And it's not that I'm not flexible. I'm very flexible. But I do have the expertise to know what I know and what would help them. So I learned that you cannot always accommodate in every situation.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard when you're sitting across the table to hold your ground in that way because of the fear of what it does to the long-term relationship. But I think that's a powerful lesson learned, that in the end, you know, you are the one that knows best about what it takes to deliver your product and services.
Because I knew ultimately they were not going to, I mean, we just couldn't deliver enough information in that amount of time. And I want my clients, you know, always to get, you know, 110% result. So, tough lesson. Never did it again.
Right. And that's why I asked that question, because many times our guests talk about a lesson that has been a foundational lesson that they don't ever go back over that again. And here on the radio show, it's all about helping our audience to learn from the experiences of others. And maybe some people will learn from that experience, Kay, without having to actually experience it directly. But through your example, maybe they'll not do that behavior and avoid the painful business lesson that you did. So thanks for giving to the audience.
Hope so. I think in this day and age, people are so eager to get business. And, you know, we do have to be careful to keep the integrity of what we do.
Yeah, because that happens both on I see it a lot on pricing still. You know, when there's lower demand than there is supply, there's, you know, there is that challenge to lower your prices so that you secure the business, and that can be a very bad decision as well.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Kay, I'm coming to the end of the interview today, but I wanted to give you the opportunity, if there's something about you or the firm that we've not covered here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and you would like to mention it to the audience, we have time for you to do that. Is there anything that I haven't asked you today that you would like to share with our audience?
Well, you've done a great job asking really good questions. I would say the only thing is just that I like to emphasize that we are here to help people be their most successful self and professional. And it is not about being a disaster. It's just about teaching people something that most of us were never taught in school. You know, most of us were never taught how to get dressed best for ourselves, or about a personal brand, or about etiquette. And it really is so much fun, and it's so rewarding for me to see people grow and just walk with their head held higher.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how often, especially a leader, gets true feedback on how their image and demeanor affects their message. You know, part of the reason why we like peer groups is they get true, real, unfiltered feedback, and a lot of times it's very insightful, and it actually creates a greater self-awareness for the individual and to become a better leader. And I would think what you do falls in line with that really well, where some of the things that you may be helping them to learn, they may not even have realized, and others have seen it, but for whatever reason, haven't felt comfortable enough to share it with them.
No, and you made a good point earlier. As people go up the ladder, they get more and more isolated. I mean, less people are willing to tell them and give them input, but yet they see they're having challenges, and they feel lost because there's no one to help them. I mean, who's going to tell their boss that, you that they have a bad management style or they're not standing up straight.
Well, but, you know, when you and I were talking, as we were talking about your appearance on the show, I relayed the story to you, and I still remember it, that I had a very senior, well, he was the vice president of sales at one of the companies that I worked for, that we had a company-sponsored event. It was like one of those week-long, you know, success retreats where you go to when you achieved a certain level of performance the previous year. And at the social functions, some of the apparel that he wore was so, seemed to be out of place, that it was actually a topic of conversation for, you know, for us direct contributors. And it sort of affected how you saw him a little bit, because you went, wow, you know, curious choice of shorts to wear at a function, you know, kind of a thing.
It really changes how people think about you, and it's very distracting. You know, our goal in business is to have people focus on what we're saying. And if we're distracting in how we're presenting it, whether it's with the body language or the wrong eye contact or the shirt is too crazy and distracting, people don't hear your message.
They don't, and they may impart qualities on you that you and characteristics that you hadn't intended, and that may affect your ability to inspire and motivate or create a vision for the company. It can have a bigger impact than just, well, you know, get over it kind of a thing, in my opinion.
I always ask people, I say, you know, what is your brand saying about you? And people need to answer that question and really think about it, because it does make a difference.
And so how deep into one's wardrobe are you able to go with your clients on a typical engagement?
Well, typically after our first initial consultation and the personal brand assessment, then we actually get into their closet and we literally go through every piece, because I feel that one of the most important things is consistency. And so I want to make sure that what they wear every day is similar. And I don't mean that, you know, one day it may be more casual, one day more formal, but it has to be a certain level. And so we literally go through the closet and look at every tie, every pair of shoe, every suit, everything. And then a list is made of what they need so that they can make the most out of what they have and the key items that they need. You know, with a man, a watch says so much about them. And oftentimes their watch is 25 years old and it looks old. And that says that they're old and nobody wants old anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's, and shoes, they're, and, you know, not to get too particular, but it's amazing to me the shape of some shoes in a business setting.
Makes a big difference. Ties, I cannot tell you how much a tie tells people about a man. And men oftentimes think, oh, I have a tie on. And then how it's tied. Another very important feature. I met someone the other day. His tie was perfect, and it told me that this man is on top of his game, and he's current with his professional information, and he had credibility.
And I think even if people aren't aware of what is correct fashion or not, on a conscious level, on some level, people respond to appropriate dress and inappropriate dress. You know what I mean? Even if they're not an expert in the industry, in the field, such as you, people make decisions, whether consciously or kind of subconsciously, about the whole package of what they see when a person shows up to meet them for the first time.
They do. And I know when we met, you know, all of a sudden you sort of had to step back and go, what is the message I'm sending?
Yes, get some free consulting if I can. Why not?
That's funny.
Okay. Well, Kay Hunter, this has been fun. I've enjoyed our time together. I really, I guess I would say, if someone would like to learn more about you and your firm, how do they do that, Kay?
They can either go to my website at kayhunter.info, www.kayhunter.info. hunter.info, or they can certainly call me. Do you want me to give the phone number?
Sure, please
do. 714-665-8866, and I would love to talk to them.
Well, again, I'm fascinated by what you do, I think, and having now met you and understand your passion for this work, really thankful that we had a chance to meet, and I appreciate the fact that you gave us your time to be here on Critical Mass, the radio show. Thanks for being a friend of the show, and kind of welcome to the community of Critical Mass business leaders here in Orange County.
Thank you, Rick, so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Goodbye, Kay.
Bye-bye.
Kay Hunter, ladies and gentlemen, of Imagine the Possibilities, and I would encourage you to visit her website. It is interesting business that she does, and I think one that's very valuable for business owners and executives. It ties perfectly to this concept of your personal brand, which I am convinced, even for those of you that are in the corporate world, if we've learned nothing, finally, after this great recession, well, hopefully we've learned you need to manage your own personal and professional brand, because no job is guaranteed, and you've got to have your own currency in the marketplace, and this may be a great way for you to do that. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and the interview with Kay. I think she gave ideas and information that you can use to make better decisions. I'd also like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, well, then visit their website, which is www.sbnonline.com. If you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass, either the CEO peer groups that we lead or the executive coaching that Doug, my partner, leads as our principal partner in charge of our coaching practice, which we call The Coaching Perspective, which, by the way, he will be hosting his weekly installment of Critical Mass, The Coaching Perspective radio show, tomorrow at 4 p.m. at this time slot, heard exclusively live on octalkradio.net, well, then you should visit our website, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. This is Rick Franzi saying, until the next show, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.